Let's take our Bibles and we're going to turn to Malachi chapter 3, if you will. Malachi chapter 3 and verse number 7. We've been working our way through this book, the last book of the Old Testament. And I'm not rushing it. I'm taking it verse by verse. And these are the last words that God gives the people of Israel before he gives them 400 years of a silent treatment, so to speak. He says, you think about this. And as we've mentioned the last few weeks, the things in here you would think would be, well, you're killing each other and this and that and the other thing. And actually, that's not what it's about. He says, first of all, I love you. You don't believe it. That's what God says. He says, I love you, but you don't believe me. Because I don't give you everything you want, every time you want, whenever you ask it, whatever you want. And so I don't, you, somehow you think I don't love you, just like a bunch of little kids who don't get their way. Oh, you don't love me. You know, how many, you know, how kids, we don't, well, you don't love me. If you love me, you let me do what I want. No, I'm love, the reason I don't let you do what you want, because you kill yourself. You hurt yourself. I love you, so I'm not going to let you do it. But God loves them, and he said, well, the fact is, though, the Lord says, in fact, you don't fear me. I mean, you don't honor me. You don't think of me as God. I mean, you just don't think of me as God. And as I said, I think I said this earlier, whether was it here, Sunday school over here. Anyway, when we, you know, this morning, when you move away from God, you move away from the blessings. When you don't fear God and trust God and realize who he is, you don't understand who he is, well, then the fact is you now have a very little God. You have a God who can't do what you need him to do. At least you think you do. You see what I'm saying? God can do anything. Nothing's impossible with God. But when we think, well, you know, got a little limitation here, and I don't know if he loves us, and I don't know if he cares for us, and you know what happens? You stop praying. Well, I'll tell God I love him, make him feel good, and I'm going to go back and live my life all the way I want to live. Well, we're going to get ourselves in trouble that way. Now, so then he says, well, there's some things we got a problem with here. And he says, you're kind of, no one wants, he said, you don't fear me. In fact, you don't even come and, you know, work at the temple. You don't even care about whether, you know, whether the place is kept up or not, unless you're getting paid for it. And then he said, he talked about the priests, and we talked about the pussyfooting preachers who are telling the people everything they want to hear to keep everybody happy. And meantime, what we're doing is perpetuating this wrong view of God, this non-fear of God. And he said, in fact, you have such a non-fear of God, just kind of live in any way you want to live. And when you live any way you want to live, well, we're going to live in sin. And he said, what's happening is it's getting into the home. He said, the fact is we got a dysfunctional home. You made your promise to your dear little sweetie when you were young and said you're going to keep her till the rest of your life, till death do you part. And now you go around and say, well, I want to trade in a 40-year-old for two 20s. And you didn't keep your word. You promised the love, the honor, the cherish, so long as you both shall live. Better for worse, richer for poorer, and sickness and in health. He said, you promised that, but now you're throwing all that out. He says, you're dealing treacherously. You're getting what you want out of it, and then you toss her away. Like a used lunch bag. He says, you weary me. He says, there's going to come a day when I'm going to send my messenger. First part of chapter 3. So I'm going to send my messenger. That turned out that was John the Baptist. Then it talks about the messenger of the covenant. That's Jesus Christ. And he says, you know what needs to be done? Now remember, the whole Old Testament, this is the last part of the Old Testament. The whole Old Testament is our schoolmaster. Show us hard-headed people that we're sinners. We're not perfect. And God's not trying to make us feel bad. He's just trying to get our attention so we'll come to him for the redemption that he has provided through Jesus Christ. There's none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the fact is, the wages of sin is death, separation from God for eternity. He says, I don't want to lose you, and since your righteousnesses are as filthy rags, Isaiah 64:6, he says, there's not a thing you can do about it, but there's something that I can do about it. God says, I can justify you. I'll pay your bill. I will pay for your sin. And he did so by the shedding of blood. When he died on the cross for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. But God commendeth his love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And now we are justified, not that we're innocent, but we're justified to go into the presence of God, which includes heaven. We're justified because our bill is paid in full. not because we're good, not because we're going to be good from now on, but because God loves us, and he loves us so much that he sent his only begotten Son to die on the cross for us. God has a promise. He's promised his promises, his promises. And the fact is, if you will believe God who he is, the promises become sweeter every day. But if you're not willing to believe that God is who he is, the promises mean nothing. The joy of the Lord throws out the window. Well, I'm still carrying. A lot of people are still carrying all the burdens. And he says, listen, come to me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy. And then I'll give you rest. Now, I know I've used it. I don't know why I get into this part here, but, well, I do know why, because where we're going here. I've used this illustration. You go over to Lancaster, and in fact, there's some around here now. There's some real nearby, some Amish folks who still plow the field with animals, horses or mules or something. And so they'll have a pair of them, and they put them in the yoke. And so they got both of them hooked together, 2 horsepower, right? And so they're gonna go. They put 2 of them there together, but they put them in the yoke so it works together. Now, the fact is, one can't go this way and one can't go the other way because they're yoked together. One can't decide they're going to go this way and one's going to decide to go that way. They can't because they're yoked together. But the fact is, if you don't yoke them together, one's going to have a hard time. He's going to have to pull that plow all by himself. Now, if he wants some help, he's going to have to get in the yoke so that the pair of them pull that plow together. Now, all of a sudden, he has half the work. Well, the fact is, you get in the yoke with the Lord, and you get yoked up. That means you're going to have to go where he goes. You're going to have to do what he says. When he goes forward, you go forward. He goes that way, you go that way. He goes that way, you go that way, because you're yoked together. But watch this. You've got God, with whom nothing is impossible, yoked. Guess who's doing most of the work? He is. We're going along for the ride. But if we decide we're going to carry our yoke all by ourselves, we're going to carry it all by ourselves. And then we wonder why we go through life drudgingly, get up the next morning, and do it all again. Am I going to survive another day? He says, you didn't get in the right yoke. You decide you're going to pull that plow all by yourself. Now, wait a minute. If you don't believe God, then you don't have any of that. You're not willing to trust God that for who he is, you don't have any of that. Now, you're going to think I'm crazy when we get into this scripture, but I want you to understand that's what this scripture is all about. Malachi chapter 3, verse number 7. Let's go back to verse 6. For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. So you know why I haven't wiped you off the face of the earth yet? Because I'm God, and God is love. I love you. I don't want to lose you. I'm trying my best to spare you. I'm trying my best to help you. If you let me help you, I'm going to help you. Verse 7. Even from the days of your fathers, ye are gone away from mine ordinances, and have not kept them. He said, you know, y'all been trying to do what you want to do, how you want to do it, when you want to do it, all for years and years and years and years and years. Your daddies did this. Your daddy's daddy did this. Your daddy's 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 daddy did this. We've been going through this for hundreds of years. I wanted you to kind of get the idea of it, but you go away. He said, then listen to me. The reason you're not consumed, the fact is, I knew you all were going to be like this. But the only reason you're not consumed, because I change not. I am who I am, and God is merciful, and my mercies are new every morning. My love is everlasting. So he said halfway through verse 7, he says this, return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But you said, wherein shall we return? He says, listen, let's just forget everything behind us. By the way, folks need to learn how to do that between themselves, between each other too. Forget those things, forgive and go on. Can't change it. But the Lord says, you know what? Let's forget those things. You come back to me, and I'll come back to you. I think he's saying we can avoid this 400 years of silence if you wanted to. Now, he knew they weren't going to happen. It wasn't going to happen, but I think he could have. Return. Now we got to learn the hard way. How many of us as teenagers had to learn the hard way? And then we tell our kids, we sound just like our parents. And we said, I'm never going to sound like my parents when I talk to my teenager. And then we turn around, we talk like our parents when we're talking to our teenager. Because now in hindsight, we know all the stupid decisions we made. He says, return to me and I'll return to you. And you know what? He said, we have the nerve to say, return. What do you mean return? What do I have to return from? Now hang on. You're going to understand this when we get done here this morning. Will a man rob God? Yet have you robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. You're cursed with a curse. For ye have robbed me and even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now there herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations, look at this, and all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Let's pray. And I'm going to speak on this topic this morning. Ready for this? The testimony of the tithe. The testimony of the tithe. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for your blessings. And Lord, I want to be a blessing. And Lord, I pray that we can get past preconceived notions and so forth and realize what you are trying to do. You change not. You're not selfish. You don't need our money. If you had need, would you ask us? Why, my goodness, of course not. That has nothing to do with this. That's not the point. Lord, I pray that you speak to our hearts. May your Holy Spirit move, and may we rise up in arms of faith. That's what it's all about. Lord, help us, we ask in Christ's name. Amen. When most people speak of living the faith, I think many of them are referring to putting up with others and being nice and being generous, you know, so forth and so on. The life of faith is just that, a life that is lived trusting and obeying God. That's the life of faith. Wherever it applies in our life, it's trusting. If you trust, you're going to obey. If you're not obeying, then either you're going against God or you don't trust Him. Yes, a life of faith means loving God with all our heart and all our mind, all our soul and all our strength, and love others as ourselves, leaving our welfare to the Lord. Though most people will testify that they're trusting God, when their welfare is at stake, often their walk does not match their talk. We've all been there from time to time when we need to be trusting the Lord more and more, and things get tighter with you. Well, I was trusting, but then I had no choice. No, what you meant was you trust Him as long as you knew you could be a good backup. But when you get out on in the limb and you realize there's no way you can handle it anymore, well then, you know, what could I do? I got to back up. I can't trust Him. He can go all the way out there on the limb with Him. No, that's where we find out whether He holds us up or not. Now, I've said it before. Don't go looking for limbs and then tell God to hold you. Don't go out on a limb until He tells you to go out on a limb. But if He says to go out on a limb, then go ahead and go because it's safe. Why? Because He's holding it up. Now, I'll tell you, you know that for sure when He's got it in black and white. Now, as you learn to trust Him in the things that are black and white, the known will of God, you will be surprised how God will let other things be known in your heart too. One main telltale sign of faith in God is seen in the area of finances. Now just hang tight with me now. Many people will put their hope for a future in their finances. You know, if there are enough funds, we will eat. If we have enough money, we'll have a place to live. If we have enough money, we will have clothes on our back. We think our security is contingent on our finances. And obviously, the more money we have, the more security and happiness we think we're going to have. Then there is God's perspective on the issue. Matthew 31 says this, "Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek." The whole rest of the world is all worried about. You know why? Because they don't have God. They don't have a God. They have a God that they made out of a piece of wood or a piece of gold or a piece of steel or whatever it is. They've got a God that they made that can be knocked over and thrown into the fire. They know as well as we do that that God's not going to do anything for them. Oh, they're going to pray and this and that and the other thing, but that God's not going to do it. You know, down in their heart, they know where that came from. It came out of a tree, out of a backyard. It couldn't even make itself. But God says, listen, that's what the Gentiles seek. But he says, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. You know what we think? He doesn't know. He's not paying attention. He doesn't see me. Little old me. Did you ever see any of those pictures from space? And they take a picture from space of the earth. They had one, what was it, from Saturn or someplace? You know, and they took this picture, and here's Earth from one of those planets out there. And it's like the head of a pin. There it is. And then you put us on that head of the pin. But our God's bigger than that. Yes, we may say, for what is man that thou art mindful of him? But the fact is, he is mindful of us. Listen, he's like a father who pities his children. He knows our frame. He knows we're dust. But yet he loves us with that everlasting love. He knows you're rising up and you're sitting down. He's touched with your infirmities and your heartaches and your heartbreak. He says, listen. He says, your heavenly Father knows that ye have need of these things, but seek ye first the kingdom, the authority, the realm, the rule of God in your life, and his righteousness, doing right according to his definition, not your definition. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things that you're worried about shall be added unto you. They come with the deal. Why? Because God knows you have need of those things. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. We think that we don't have anything because he's not watching. Listen, the Lord says that we are more secure having the Lord than having a large amount of money. What has more power, money or the Lord? And you know what? Somebody out there will say, well, money has an awful lot of power. Now, come on now. The Lord is the one that raises men up and puts them in power and puts them down. The heart of the king is in his hand. The Lord is the one, listen, he is the one that has the power to get wealth, which is actually looking out for our best interest, money or the Lord, which is eternal and will never end. And then the other one, listen, and can never fail. The money or the Lord? Listen, all we need to do is wake up tomorrow morning, the stock market crash and everything goes down, and that piece of paper isn't worth the paper it's printed on. Stock market crash of 1929, men jumped out the window because they thought their life was over. They forgot that he's the way, the truth, and the life. Not my money. Who gave you the money the first time? By the way, God has plenty to go around. He knows where all the money is. If he knows you need some, he can make sure you get it. You say, well, you really believe that? Yes, I believe it with all my heart because I've seen him do it in my life and the lives of other people. I'm lining up some testimonies for the Sunday, in 2 Sundays from now when we have the Thanksgiving dinner. And we're hoping, by the way, kids, I want you to bring your folks, your family, your friends, your neighbors, your in-laws, your outlaws, a whole bunch of them. All right, your enemies, bring them along, okay? And then we'll drive in fine. If they want to come in a bus, that's fine. But I want you to invite them in. There's those cards out there. Give them one of those cards. I want you to bring them in. We're going to have a nice big dinner. And I'll tell you something. Listen, one of the things I want them to see, I want them to see the real people, not just the preacher, but the real people. There's real people who trust God and see God meet those needs. I'm kind of putting together some testimonies for you to see that. It's real, not preacher talk. I'm not lying to you. Now, how we handle our money, I'm not getting ready for it. How we handle our money says much about our true faith in God. Let me say that again. How we handle our money says much about our true faith in God. Romans 3:4 says this, let God be true and every man a liar. But I know what I heard. What did God say? His word shall stand. His word shall stand. Though stars should fall and mountains turn to sand, though no man believe him, still God will be true. His promise is sure. His love will endure. He changes not. And forever his word shall stand. It's settled in heaven forever. Lamentations 3:21 says this. Now, Lamentations, you think about that. Lamentations. Jeremiah wrote Lamentations when it looked like, well, everything's gone. They're going to have to go into the captivity. It's just the way it is. And he's lamenting. But he reminds himself in the midst of the lament. Or maybe the Lord reminds him. Lamentations 3:21 says this. This I recall to my mind. Therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Not because we have endless source of money. He didn't say that. I said that. He says, we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him. Wait for him. Not get out there. Don't get ahead of him. Don't try to figure out another way to do it. Don't try to go around his word. Wait. If he gave his word, do what he said as much as you can and leave it in his hands. And when we worry, it's almost a sin because we're basically saying, I don't know if you can do it. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. And he's not talking about getting to heaven. He's talking about God sparing us, delivering from where we are. Now, some folks may be visiting today, and some may have already been here a few weeks, and you're saying to yourself, well, here we go. He's preaching on money. That's all those preachers do. They preach on money. That's all those guys want is our money. No, I'm not preaching to get you to give more. I'm preaching to encourage you to trust God more. I am wanting you to understand real faith. God does not need your money. In fact, your money is his anyway. In fact, to tell you the truth, if you don't give it, he'll spend it for you. Yes, he will. He'll spend it for you. We have been living this way, our society, for so long that we kind of tip our hat at God, but we really live on our own. We're trusting ourselves. We're trusting our job. I remember the day when I was out, when I was out of Ohio Zanders and going to college, and I got laid off because of the recession. And the fact is, I was working on overnight. I was unloading tractor and trailers. I'd have been a school teacher. I was a musician. I'm talking about moving thousands and thousands and thousands of pounds every night in the middle of the night, so that I could go to school during the day. I didn't get the idea. I didn't like my job. I didn't like it. In the summertime, you're just rolling sweat. in the wintertime, there's horizontal snow coming across the deck. They're coming in one bay on this side and going out the other side, and you're trying to get around in the forklifts, and it's sliding around. I almost going right off the end of the dock. It wasn't going to stop. So I hit a little bit there, and we hit the post so it wouldn't go off the dock, you know, and crazy stuff. And so when he said, we're going to have to lay you off, today's your last day. You know why? I tell you why. Because, see, I knew the Lord had, that's another message, but I knew the Lord had sent me out there. So the Lord's going to have to pay the bill. It was crazy. How am I going to do it? I can't do it. And it's a long story. Everything just going. We had a house that we were renting back here to someone else, but the rent was just paying the mortgage and the taxes. And those people decided they were going to leave early. They're not going to pay anything more. So now I've got a rent bill, and I got a mortgage bill. I got a wife and two kids. I've got school bills. We've got to keep food on the table, and no job. And the money was already gone. You've heard that story. That was long gone. The Lord paid every bill on time. Not much more extra. But every bill that he made, he paid. He's the one that set me out there. The only bill that needed to be paid was the one that I made when I borrowed $4,000 from my dad to go out to college in the first place, as if I needed to help God out. Because I don't need that. And so it was gone before we ever started school. So get that out of here. I don't want you trusting that. You're going to trust me. So when it was all over, I had to still have to pay that $4,000 back, because that was my bill. We've been living this way for so long that we are accustomed to it. And we're comfortable living according to our own understanding. And yet we're calling it faith. We think we're walking with God, but we are doing the leading, and we're expecting God to walk with us. So he's there with us with his wallet to pay the bill if we need him. Come on, I'm not the only one that does this. We ask, how can we come back to God? We never walked away from God. That's what he said. We never walked away from God. What do you mean never walked away? You don't realize how far away you are. Man, I did that when I was a kid. We went to Hershey, to the great big car show, the flea market. Have you ever been up there? Anybody been to the Hershey flea market up there? A few of you. It's just huge. And I went up there as a little kid with my dad. Of course, he was a big car guy, and he's doing his own thing. Fact is, I needed to follow him. He wasn't going to keep an eye on me. His eye was on that 31 LaSalle fender he was trying to find. You know, it wasn't, he was too big. So anyway, I got to do it. Every once in a while, they'll have some things that are kind of cool and toys and stuff for the kids to look at. And, you know, I'm busy looking, and dad went on down around the corner You know, it doesn't pay to yell dad in a crowd. I was the one that got distracted from him. And we say, what do we mean? I got to walk away. We have been living this way for so long, we don't realize how far we are. Malachi 3:7 says this, even from the days of your fathers, ye are gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. See, when we see someone actually live by faith according to God's word, we think the person is a little off. Come on. They actually think that God's going to do something. It's almost like we don't want to be associated with them. Now, I know there's some folks that go off the deep end, they've figured out this, and they've got this, and so they're creating limbs and are wanting God to go out on there with them. But God's not asking us to do that. But he does tell us to do some things, and we should do it his way. We think they're a few fries short of a happy meal. The elevator doesn't go all the way up. The lights are on, but no one's home. They believe God's going to actually do something. It seems that in our society, living by faith is a nice little sentiment, and it comes up regularly these days because of all the tragedies that are beyond our control. But to actually live this way in reality is thought foolish and something only the intellectually challenged would actually have the stupidity to do. And I'm not trying to get political here, but just this is just an example. Mr. Obama, some years ago, during the campaign, said this, quote, "You go into some of these small towns in Pennsylvania, and like a lot of small towns in the Midwest, the jobs have been gone now for 25 years, and nothing's replaced them, and they fell through the Clinton administration, the Bush administration. Each successive administration has said that somehow these communities are going to regenerate, and they have not. So it's not surprising that they get bitter and cling to their guns or religion." We get bitter and cling to our guns and our religion. It's a faith in Jesus Christ. Make sure that's your religion. Now, so what are these people worried about? Finances. And are we going to make it through another year? Mr. Obama, we are not trusting in mere religion, as you say, but in the Almighty Lord God, Jehovah. Proverbs 3:5. I'm going to be done preaching before I ever get to point number one. Proverbs 3:5. You know it, but put it in this context. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. All thine heart. A lot of folks have these verses memorized. You could almost quote them for them. You know that. Now think about what they say. Trust in the Lord when it's convenient. No, that's the unauthorized translation. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. That means my heart is not trusting in me. That means my heart's not trusting in some other person. That means my heart's not trusting in the government to provide my needs. Now, God may use the government to do that. But you say, well, what if I lose our Social Security, our Medicare? God won't go bankrupt. Now, we may be eating beans and rice. There's times when he brings us down that we don't have much. But he's still taking care of us. And why does he do that? Because we say, you need a return. So where do we need a return? What do you mean? We're fine just like the way we are. He says, you don't understand. I've been taking care of you. Oh, well, yeah, I know. You've taken care of us. We appreciate it, God. Now, I can't come to church on Sunday because I got a job. That I'm going to do some extra work. I know sometimes your work, you can't get around. I understand you. But some people are looking for extra money. You don't need extra money working on Sunday. God makes sure you have what you need. But watch what he does. Listen. And I've done this with you before. Suppose this is the level of your funds that you need to get by. When you're making money and you have your dips and your good months and your low months and here you are, but you've got this much buffer zone, you know what? You don't think about it. I hate to say it, we get used to just going along with the ride. You know, I know we got to be ups and downs, but, you know, so we only ate out two times this week instead of five and, you know, but we're okay. But watch this. This is the level, and when we live here, and we watch him provide day after day and week after week, we learn to trust him with every little thing. All of a sudden, we get serious about him. You know what we do? We return. Hey, God. You remember me? Mortgage is coming up, and I'm $75 short. I don't know where it's going to come from. I remember times in our life where the numbers, if you thought about, didn't add up. But somehow, there was enough money. I know that sounds crazy. Where did the money? I don't know. Just like there was always enough there. just a little something or whatever it was, or they all of a sudden they said, "Oh no, this is wrong. We charge you too much." How many times does that happen? But it does. God, you know, sometimes they God charges them. He charges me extra, so to see if I'm going to trust him to pay the bill. And say, "Oh, well, good. Well, you can have it back here." I'm serious. Do you really believe, think God lives that way? I believe with all my heart that God deals with us like that. Because that's where we live. Sometimes he has to get our attention. Ladies, now I know we really weren't into the, our area wasn't really in the, not awful. Baseball. We just got finished the, I couldn't think of that name. I couldn't think of the word. World Series. Apparently I'm not into it. But anyway, now, ladies, I know the guys get into the World Series or, the March Madness and all that stuff or whatever it might be. And you go into the room and there he is. And you happen to walk in front of the TV. You know what I'm saying? And his attention is pinpointed on there. And you say, "Dear, what do you want for dinner?" "Oh. Well, what if we have squid?" "I don't know, whatever you want. That's fine, dear." You know what I'm saying? "Dear, I'm leaving you." "All right. Have a good time." You know? And they're pinpointed on here. And you know what you have to do? You've got to go in front of the TV and go, if there was a fire in the house, you'd actually have to get in front of the TV because that's where his eyes are focused, because that's where he's looking. He's not looking anywhere else. So if you're going to get his attention, you got to get between him and what his love is. And sometimes that's what God has to do. He has to get in between us and our finances, us and our money. You find what I'm saying here? Because that's where our attention is. We think life is good because we have money. Do you realize if we forget about the money and get to know him, he'd take care of the money part? Yeah. I'm serious. Yeah. Now, that doesn't mean you don't go to work. A man doesn't work, neither should he eat. In fact, to tell you the truth, Christians should be the best workers because they have the most integrity and character and should love their boss, even their bad boss, and want to do right, if nothing else, for the testimony of Jesus Christ. We should live like it. Listen, we should be blessed are the peacemakers because they shall be called the children of God, the way we live. Well, they must know God because you ever see the way they deal with things? You have, when that boss raked him over the coals, look how he dealt with it. When that person called him out, look how he dealt with it, living for him. But the fact is, sometimes God's got to get in between us and what we're living. So trust in the Lord with all thine hearts. Watch. Lean not unto thine own understanding. Well, you know, God, I think I got this one. I've been here before. I saw what my grandma did. I saw what so-and-so. No, lean not unto thine own understanding. Watch. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Now, we're talking about tithing here. In other words, he says, this is the way you need to live. If you live like this, it's going to work. Yeah, but it doesn't look like it's great. It doesn't add up. I know math. Math, numbers don't. Math, numbers are numbers. Numbers don't lie, God. No, they don't lie. But I control the numbers. I invented those too. I know what, in fact, you have the numbers. You're going to be amazed how it all works out. And you're going to be able to see it right there in black and white. But somehow it's still paid at the end of the month. I'm going to take care of you if you will trust the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding and all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall tell you what to do. He shall direct your paths. God will tell us what to do, and we're going to see what God says about finances. That's what he says here. That's what he's saying here. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord. Depart from evil. That was their problem in Malachi. So you don't fear me. You fear your boss. You honor your parents. You don't give a hoot what I say. You show up when you want to show up. You want to serve, you serve. You don't want to do anything. He said, I'm just an add-on. If you have time to add me on. He said, be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. You ready for this? Stop gambling and the get-rich-quick schemes. Cheating on your taxes. Things under the table. Yes. Do we have to pay our taxes to Caesar? Render unto Caesar that which is Caesar, render unto the God that which is God's. But it's not right. That's not your question. God takes care of it. He knows. They're the ones going to be accountable for not using your taxes right, not you. Unless you don't vote. Tuesday. Be there or be square. You need to vote. If you're registered, vote. You've got 3 or 4 different guides out there. Choose my words here. You've got 3 or 4 different of them out there. Read it. You can make a difference for the next few years. Really could. Now, he says that we will do that. By the way, why in the world they think they're going to help our community by putting a casino in the Galleria Mall? Because we think money's the answer. Now, he says, we do it his way. He says, it shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Our first fear is simply for the necessities of life, and we're going to have enough to provide for our families. And God knows that, and immediately he addresses that here. He says, how it's going to work. Watch. He says, honor the Lord. You know, Proverbs 3, trust the Lord with all thine heart, lean not on thine own understanding. Proverbs 3, verse 9 says, honor the Lord with thy substance. And with the first fruits of thine increase. He says, I should have had to turn to it. That's in Proverbs 3. Go back and read it this afternoon. He says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. Find out what he says about it. And he shall direct thy paths. And then he says what? Honor the Lord with the first fruits of thine increase. Listen, God gets his back first before anyone else does. We owe God first before anyone or anything else. And then he gives you the promise. Verse 10, Proverbs 3:10. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine, grape juice. This is how we are to live. And if we truly believe in God and his promises, we would handle our finances this way. And to not handle our finances this way is to call God a liar. Now, instead of calling him a liar, why don't we take him up on his promise? Now, I think it's interesting there in Proverbs 3, he's talking about trusting with all thy heart. You know what we think? And I'm almost done because it's time. I didn't even get to number one. I'll tell you what we think. When we say, I'll trust it with all my heart, what we'll say is, I'm willing to gamble on this one. I don't know but if I lose this, it won't be the end of the world. You know what I mean? I can handle this. I'm willing to gamble on this particular thing here and see what God does with it. And if it doesn't work out, well then, you know, I'm still okay because I've hedged my bets on another way. No, he says, trust the Lord with all thine heart. You know what that means? All your eggs in one basket. Well, that's foolish. It is if you're dealing with earthly things and human, but it's not when you're dealing with God, who is faithful, whose mercies endure forever, and they're new every morning, and we're not consumed because of his mercy and compassion, because that's just who he is. I really believe that a lot of folks miss out on seeing God do the amazing because they won't quite trust Him with all their heart. I'm serious, folks. I'm not perfect. I've had my times and I've had my doubts. But when I have trusted Him, in hindsight, I can see how He worked everything out. Now, here's the thing. You don't have hindsight until you get there. All you have is His Word. All you have is God's Word on it. Well, let's trust Him. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Take no thought for tomorrow what the day shall bring. For the Gentiles do that. Now, this is going to end up being part one, Jack, here, but this message was this, the testimony of the tithe. Do we trust Him or not? And it gives a testimony of where we are with Him. Let's pray. Father, we thank You again for Your Word. Thank You for Your promises. And these folks have been very patient this morning. Lord, I thank You for the fact that You allow us to see in black and white Your promises and that we can live by them. Lord, help our folks to rise up in arms of faith. Heads are bowed and our eyes are closed.